One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready, get ready.
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And good morning, everybody. Happy Resurrection Sunday. This is Pastor Jeff Greider, and I'd like to welcome you to this NTEB House Church Sunday service. We're very, very glad that you've decided to worship here with us this morning. Today's message, for even hereunto were ye called, that ye should follow his steps. If you have been saved for any length of time, you'll likely remember the WWJD yellow wrist bracelets that were so popular many years back. And everybody was walking around and asking the question, what would Jesus do in any given situation? Many people are surprised to learn that that originally came from a book written way back in 1896 by Charles Sheldon called In His Steps. And the book was based on 1 Peter 2:21, which says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." In His Steps was right in line with the times that Charles Sheldon lived in, as preachers like D.L. Moody were holding revivals attended by tens of thousands of people at any given service. And a huge focus was placed on not simply preaching to the lost, but feeding them as well and attending to some of their earthly needs. Sheldon's book was an immediate hit because it brought to life the biblical command we see in the writings of Paul, John, and Peter to walk in the steps of the Lord Jesus. Jesus told Peter in John 21 to follow him to the cross, and he did. Jesus told Paul in Acts 9 and Acts 26 to follow him to his death. 2 Timothy 4:6-8. And not only did Paul do that, he then calls us to follow him as an ensample. The command for the body of Christ is to follow the steps of the Lord Jesus. And today I would like to bring you a message about walking in his steps. What would Jesus do? The Bible has the answer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here today. And we come before you, Lord, and we ask you to show us how to walk in your steps and lead us in those steps, Lord. And sometimes they're relatively easy to walk in, and other times they're almost impossibly hard. And we just come before you today, Lord, and guide our steps, Lord, and lead us and guide us in the paths of righteousness. And Lord, we just thank you for waking us up today. We thank you, Lord, for putting food on the table. We thank you for putting clothes on our back and a roof over our head. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." And we do delight in your way, Lord, and we come before you this morning and ask you to meet with us. And we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Happy Sunday service, and very glad to see the chat room starting to fill up and people logging on from all over America and all around the world. And we're just so glad to have you here this morning. Please keep Florida, the entire state of Florida, in your prayers. We are about 72 hours away from some sort of a hurricane. It's going to hit the West Coast first and then come over here to the East Coast. And so we just want to pray for everybody in the state of Florida today, north, south, east, and west, and that the Lord would just keep us safe and let the winds howl, but we'll be safe in the arms of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that you're here with us today.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There, a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, it seems before me, help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, in the cross be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Be able to do this great old song called I Wanna Die on the Battlefield, Glory in My Soul.
Thank you. One day, as I was thinking of unseen things above, my Savior came unto me and filled my heart with love.
Amen.
Well, I used to have some people who walked and talked with me, but since I've been converted,
song that is. And you know what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4? One of the greatest chapters that the Apostle Paul ever wrote. If you haven't spent much time in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you need to get there. He starts out by talking in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. That's a charge to Timothy, who here is a type of the church. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. With all long suffering and doctrine. And the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy that the time is going to come. There's going to be a great falling away. And of course, Paul is speaking prophetically. And when you get down to verses 6 through 8... I want you to think about that song I just played for you. I want to die on the battlefield. Well, you know, that's exactly what the The goal of the Apostle Paul was to die in service on the battlefield. Dr. Peter Ruckman felt that way. Clarence Larkin felt that way. Billy Sunday, Charles Spurgeon, D.L. Moody absolutely felt that way. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered." He's ready to die. He's on the battlefield. And he says, "And the time of my departure is at hand." Paul says, "I have fought a good fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. I have finished my course," that is preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of the grace of God, what Paul called my gospel. That's what his course was. What's your course? If you're saved, you have one. It's time to figure it out. Paul says, "I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." What day is that day for the born-again Bible believer? It's the judgment seat of Christ. "And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." And you know that you can get a crown just for loving the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can remember preaching on the streets a couple of years ago, and I was talking with this very lovely Asian couple. They were probably in their early to mid-20s, and they came up, and they were beaming and smiling, and they took a track, and they listened to the preaching for a little while, and they thanked us for preaching on the streets and said what a blessing that was. And so I turned to her and I says, "Wouldn't it be great if the Lord Jesus came today?" And her face completely changed. She got all serious and she says, "Oh no, brother, not today." And I said, "Why not today?" She said, "Because there's so much that I need to do. I just got married. We want to have a baby. We want to buy a house. We want to watch that child grow. I want the Lord Jesus to come," she said, "but I don't want it to be today." And she left, and I had tears in my eyes. What do you have that's so important that the Lord Jesus can't come in and interrupt what it is that you're doing? Raising your kids, building a house, saving for your retirement. Those weren't things that the apostles thought about. That's not what the Bible says that we're... Yes, you should absolutely raise your children the best that you can. But if you haven't prepared them for that day, then you haven't done a very good job. What is more important to you than the book, the blood, and the blessed hope? And when she told me that, you know, if you really want to find out what people think, you're not going to find it in the Greek or the Hebrew. You're not going to find it in the seminaries and Christian universities and colleges. You're not even going to find it inside your church. If you want to know what people think, you got to get out in the street and do personal work. And every single preacher, pastor, author of the last 300 years that God used to any degree, they all believed in personal work. That is, putting some gospel tracts in your pocket, and wherever you go, you want to fill up your car with gas. Well, guess what? At the gas station, there's going to be a couple of people next to you, around you, walking past you. Have you ever thought about handing out a gospel tract when you go out in the streets, out in the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in? Well, what that woman said to me, it really, really made me think, and it really opened my eyes. There's nothing more important than Jesus Christ coming back to get us, and it may be today. It may be today. Are you ready to go today? I hope you are. That's my prayer for me and for you. Glad you're here this morning.
upon his face, it shines like the sun. I can see Jesus clothed in glory. He is high and lifted up, and his strength fills the temple, and all of the angels cry holy, oh,
started in just a minute. Very glad that you're here today. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, please post it in the chat room. We're getting ready to go into our prayer time right after this. Heavenly Father, we come before you with our prayers and our praise and our petitions. Lord, draw us closer to yourself, wash us clean yet again in your shed blood, and hear our cries and prayers and praise. Lord, this morning we pray for lost souls. Sarah, Eric, Becky Jacobs, Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark, in Jeanette's family, Cheyenne, Bridget, Tony, Dion, Matthew, Samuel, Trista, Tara, Trevor, up in Maine. We're praying for Derek, Adam, and Roland Carrier and their families. We're praying for Jesse and his mom to get saved. We're praying for my three brothers, John, Jimmy, and David, to get saved. Rachel's dad, Ralph, unsaved Catholic family members of the Bolton family. Colby Bohan. Dina Kruger is praying for her son, Jordan, to get saved. David Peck for salvation. Susan Weir's Bicky, Salvation for Daughters Valerie and Marie, Son and Husband both named Greg, Kentucky Jeffrey praying for Tyler, Tevin, daughter-in-law Caitlin, and grandsons Logan, Ronnie, and Russell. Jeanette and Bob from Wisconsin praying for unsaved Catholic family members. Danielle for salvation. Connie has three unsaved kids. Joshua Gaskins and his wife April would like salvation prayers for Stephanie and Michael, as well as for Uncle Steve. Brandy asking prayers for her family salvation. Rita in Colorado, she's asking for prayers for Dan's salvation. We're praying for two men named Ron. They both need to get saved. We're praying for Spray of Sunshine's three children, Daniel, Patrick, and Brian. Shannon is praying for Lori W. and Brian M. Patrick needs to get saved and overcome his lottery ticket addiction. Rick Dotson needs to get saved. Jan Lacker praying for son David. Barbara's praying for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Chandel. Nicole Zimmer praying for salvation for her best friend and her family, the Meads and the Cooks. Cheyenne is praying for Barry K., Terry C., Alan G., Melody, Nick, Rick, and Beth. Karen is praying for children Jason and Tiffany and grandchildren Summer, Austin, and Emmett. Barbara praying for son Jody, Mark Sherlock, salvation for four-year-old Savannah and her mom Stephanie. Werner Bukes praying for friends Bob and Abby who were into Gaia worship, just like Pope Francis. Nancy is praying for salvation for Brandon and Michelle. Jill is praying for her husband Jerome and son and daughter to get saved. Kathy Hughes' son, he needs to get saved. Haley is praying for her friend Zane up in Maine, who is a Jehovah's Witness. He needs to get saved. Lulu asking for prayers for unsaved family members. Miles and his family need to get saved. Many people in the Giacomino family, they need to get saved. And I know that Kathy and Dennis are doing an excellent job witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is a personal decision that you make. You can't be born into it. It doesn't happen for you. You have to receive or reject God's free gift of salvation. God is not a Calvinist. Dawn D, salvation prayers for David. Paul Caulfield, salvation for his father Fred and sister Susan and his brother-in-law Frank. Ramona Hayes is praying for daughter Kimberly for salvation and sobriety. Also praying for grandchildren William, Jason, David, and Amanda. Patrick, salvation prayers for Jack and Aaron. Chelsea B, praying for her ex-husband, his parents, his sister, and her husband. Adam would like salvation prayers for wife Shayna. Lori B, she needs to get saved. Shira McPherson, praying for Scott, who needs to get saved, and her daughter Nicole, who is backslidden. Lori Ann is praying for her grandfather Irvin. He's very up in years. He's in his 90s. His health is not so good. Please pray that his eyes would be opened before he leaves. Cheryl and Mark Fennell need to get saved. Kevin Thompson praying for his father Tim, his brother-in-law John, and other friends and family members. Steve Graves needs to get saved. Elga needs to get saved. We're praying that many of the people in Ukraine who received the Bibles that we sent would get saved. Rob is asking salvation prayers for his three children, Max, Olivia, and Mikey. Phyllis T, she wants her husband to get saved. Summer Robbins, she attends Suncoast Baptist Church. Praying for her dad, Captain Brian A. Robbins, a retired Navy SEAL. Marie's friend's family, Ashley, Dayton, Alyssa, Kyle, Brandon, Grace, Micah, and Macy for salvation. Adam and Katie asking salvation prayers for parents, sisters, brother-in-laws, nieces, and nephews. Gary Tatterson asking for salvation prayers for his parents, his brother Jeff, and cousin. Joe Russiello is asking for salvation prayers for his mother, sister, granddaughter, and in-laws. Ellen would like salvation prayers for her grandsons, Braden and Logan. His Grace would like salvation prayers for Rob Summer, Sue and Mike, Carl, Jason, Rachel, and Jason and Carrie. Lola's son William and his wife Lindsay for salvation. Hannah's mom needs to get saved. Bruce Bridges is praying for Elena and Milena from Italy and Spain. Anja, salvation prayers for Hanu, John, Charles, and Anna Lilsa. Dave Evans is asking salvation prayers for his friend Taylor, an atheist. Viviana, praying for her brother Javier Reyes. Scott Thaler needs to get saved. Adam and Katie also praying for neighbors Jason, Eddie, and Brian. Loretta Oates would like salvation prayers for sons Kenny and Matthew. Jane is praying salvation prayers for her son Troy. Julie Lynn wants to see Katie Ann get saved. Chona praying for Estefano Jr., Eugenie and her kids, Maricel and Cherry, and Chona's siblings Julia and Maria Tricia. Chuck Edgerton praying for son Jacob and his mom Lynette. Samantha praying for Beth. Deborah Hare, salvation prayers for unsaved family members. Rita, she's headed out to Minnesota, and she's taking care of a sister with Alzheimer's, and she would like us to pray for unsaved Catholic family members. Teresa would like prayers for unsaved family members. John needs to get saved. Lisa is asking for salvation prayers for her father, John. Annabelle would like salvation for his unsaved kids. Deborah Milton praying for son Billy. Hap Nightingale is asking prayers for her sons Jimmy and Zach. Tricia, she's praying that her co-workers, officers Davis, Maury, Hancock, and Heath, would get saved. Colonial Man would like salvation prayers for Don Huff, Claire, and Virginia. Norman Merkel praying for daughter Kara, granddaughter Ava, and son-in-law Stephen Matthews, and for his kid's mother, Lynette Crew. Little Toe is praying for Trevin. Henrik Larson would like salvation prayers for Kygel and Elizabeth. That's his parents, his sister and her spouse, Ingrid and Frederick. His mom's aunt, Barrett, who is 95 and still going strong. Roz GB, salvation prayers for lost family members. Brian needs to get saved. Andrew Whittington needs to get saved. Marisol Barcina, praying for her Catholic family members in Panama to get saved. Rapture 57, praying for unsaved family members. Gail is praying for Jim. Shirley Medor is praying for her brother and his wife. Eric is asking for salvation prayers for his parents, Anna and Norillo, members of his family and co-workers. Tony the carpenter and his son Cole, who built the new shelves at the bookstore, were praying for them to get saved. Kenny B would like salvation prayers for unsaved family. Rachel K, unsaved friends and family. Sandra C, unsaved Catholic family members. Please pray for Ray, Johnny, Don, and Danny. Battling drugs, alcohol, depression, and medical issues. Not sure if they are saved. Marky Mark is praying for unsaved relatives and neighbors. Regina Danner, please pray for Kelly, Chris, Cisco, Richard, Wayne, John, Sandra, Tamara, Hazel, and Jimmy to get saved. For Jennifer, Tina, Linda, Joy, Geneva to be strengthened in their faith. And Wayne, Geneva, Joy, and Richard to be healed. Jersey Girl's husband, Tim, had COVID in January, still dealing with brain fog. I'm going to take him off the list. That's been a long time. Bonnie's niece, Lauren, she's had some troubles since she took the vaccine, and pray for her healing. Shanna is praying for her uncle who had COVID. Kevin Swift has a rare blood cancer called polycythemia vera, as well as a blood clotting issue. And Carol is from Georgia, is asking for prayers She had COVID, but I'm taking her off the list too because that's been too long. Harmon's son, Michael, battling pancreatic cancer. Chuck Price, please pray for a brother who is dying of cancer that the Lord would give him a testimony. Dawn Martin, best friend's stepbrother Toby with a brain aneurysm. Cody Baker's dad has leukemia. Catherine B. has chronic medical issues and asked us to pray for her, and we are happy to do that. Pam has glaucoma. Katrina is a 25-year-old wife and mother with breast cancer. Tom has spina bifida and wants to see his tracheostomy tube be removed so he can go back to church. Dave Evans is praying for friend Diana battling lymph node cancer. Shelley's friend Renee has pre-leukemia, and her husband has congestive heart failure. Chloe's dad has leukemia. Joshua Gaskins praying for Luke K., who has LGL leukemia. Joe Russiello's mom is struggling with a number of health issues. Roz GB needs a healing from asthma and scoliosis. Annetta, she wants to walk again after having a stroke, and we're praying for her. Roz has a friend in Japan, a born-again Christian and an NTEB listener. Her nieces have been diagnosed with a rare form of blood cancer, praying for healing and medical expenses. Palmetto State guy praying for his mom, Eunice, who had a stroke. Natalie's husband, Ken, needs healing from esophageal cancer. And Marisol Barcina praying for Jeremy with brain cancer. Carla Keck asks us to pray for her mom, Joanne Spencer, in a nursing home with Alzheimer's. Roz GB would like prayers for her daughter-in-law battling stage 3 cervical cancer. Bonnie is praying for 17-year-old Ariel Roberts with a brain tumor. John Henry is in a nursing home and would like prayers for strength and to be a witness. Clayton Perry has ongoing cancer treatments. Robert Wiley is battling ALS. Marie Comfort would like prayers for her friend Tammy. Tammy's mother just passed away from a rare form of breast cancer, and now the daughter has it as well. Kathy Giacomino praying for saved family members to get on fire. That's a good prayer. Rhiannon Smith, she's having eye trouble. She needs a healing. Daniel and Charlene are asking that a financial burden be lifted. Joshua Gaskin's co-worker's 14-year-old daughter battling depression and suicidal thoughts. Lori Cordes would like prayers for Kevin, who is a volunteer and wheelchair-bound. He's asking that the Lord would heal him so he could walk again. Joe Russiello, please pray for my wife and her walk with the Lord. Mary Jane is praying for her sister, Rianne, to come to her senses. She has decided that she was supposed to be born a man. Donna Rogers, asking for prayers for health and spiritual attacks. Gail Burge has a daughter with an eating disorder. Susan Smith, asking prayers that God would give her direction on where to move. Dina's son, Josh, needs prayers for deliverance from addiction and homelessness. Chona's mom, Erlinda, needs prayer for health and healing for low potassium problem. Her aunt, Christina, has been bedridden from a stroke, and her father has an illness. Marie Cariocci is praying for Lucille, and she has multiple health issues, plus she needs to get saved as well as her husband. Connie has neuralgia pain. She needs a healing. Rita from Colorado, who is now in Mississippi, and she is asking prayers for her sister. And she's going to be in Mississippi for about six. I'm sorry. I always get it wrong. It's not Mississippi. It's Minnesota. And she is going to be ministering to her sister with Alzheimer's for about 6 months. And she asks us to pray for multiple things going on in their family. James Rogers, please pray for my son, Ryan. He's saved but has no interest in Bible study. Also, please pray for Atsuko, Yumiko, and Lucy. Annabelle's wife needs a healing from asthma, Adrian Breda needs a healing for his eyesight and battles with alcohol. Deborah Milton's son Billy has asthma. Rachel Elizabeth would like prayers for anxiety. Henrik Larson praying for healing for his mother-in-law, Brigitte, with an undiagnosed issue in her gut. His wife with a bad knee and foot, and son who has frequent headaches and vertigo. Heather is praying for daughter Sophia, who is questioning her faith. Penny would like prayers for healing from the beginning stages of dementia. Laura Campoy was involved in a bad accident. She needs a healing. Feely is praying for her children. They're saved, but not living for the Lord. Marie Cariocci is praying for her friend Jackie in a wheelchair. Brooke Kettlecamp has ongoing special health and care needs, and we're praying for her to have a healing from the Lord. Shirley Meador has been having spiritual attacks and asked for prayers. Juanita Allberg, she'd like victory over smoking. Elizabeth needs prayers that she would stop drinking and return to the Lord. Well, stop drinking and return to the Lord. Get yourself into a program. Get to AA. You got to get your mind clear, and then you got to get the gospel. Bill in Maryland asking prayers for U.S. military stationed overseas. Many of them are so poor, they're on food stamps. That is, currently serving U.S. military. How shameful is that? Carrie is asking prayers for husband Jerry with possible dementia. Bianca, she would like prayers for her husband Derek to restore his faith and to restore their marriage. Amanda Matthias, Preston's sister, now she is sick, and they don't know what it is. So please pray for Preston and Amanda Matthias. Also, remember our overseas pastors in the Philippines, Pastors John Ree, Danny, and Arnell, Pastor Pho John in Vietnam. Lou Ann is an American missionary in Turkey. Pastor David Mark in India, Stephen Carroll in the UK, Erad Bursch in Uganda with Good Child Missions. And please remember our free Bible and gospel tract program in your prayers. Our street preachers, Kentucky Jeffrey in Ohio, Kyle and Reagan in Baton Rouge. Up in Canada, we have Werner Bukes and Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Adrian Breda, Jeffrey Saposinek, Greg Scott. In Philadelphia, we have Marie. Joshua Gaskins is asking that we pray for his gospel tract ministry. Amen, brother. Jennifer Thompson and Henry Biggs in Australia. Arthur in South Africa. Joe Rusiello, street preaching in Eagle Pass. Mike Avram is a trucker leaving Bibles at truck stops. Mia would like prayers for Jay, a street preacher who preaches to the LGBTQ plus community. And Justin Dubrovolsky, Night Watch Audist, and his friend Tom Fennessy would like prayers for their street preaching ministry up in Canada. Amen. And send us pictures of your team out in the streets. I would love to write an article about that. Rapture Ready says, please pray for me. I had a hard time Thursday at physical therapy. I'm just worn out. Marie Comfort's 84 years old. And she says, I've got my seat ready to fly. Amen, sister. Hang in there. Rapture 57, been sick since Monday, needs prayer. Jeanette, the caregiver that I hired for the weekend is not coming. I need prayers for a new weekend caregiver. Patty says, please say a prayer for me, my mom, and neighbor in Southwest Florida. We are in the cone of the coming hurricane, and we're going to talk about that as well. Kyle says, praise report. Our street preaching this morning, we had a woman named Tiffany trust upon the Lord for salvation. Please pray for her as she walks forward with the Lord. Amen. Amen, brother. And I know that you gave her a Bible because you're constantly handing out Bibles on the streets, and that's a blessing. Charlton says, please pray. I have an important road test for Class A license on October 11th. That's my dad's birthday. And Charlton says, please lift me up for his test. Amen, brother. JJ says, I need prayer. Marky Mark, hallelujah. Please pray for a friend who I answered his questions about Jesus and the resurrection. Pray for God to open his eyes to the truth. Amen. Angel, prayers for my mom, who I witnessed to for 2 hours on Friday. She's a Roman Catholic and needs to get saved. Amen. She sure does. Erad Bursch, praise report. Elizabeth and Sister Florence were discharged from the hospital yesterday. Amen. Regina Danner, prayer request for salvation. Chris, Cisco, Kelly, Sandra, John, Richard, Wayne, and so many more people in my life. Samantha, please pray for my former boss, Jason. I called and witnessed to him on Friday. Amen. CJ for Truth, please pray for my brother, Greg. He has cancer. Salvation for my mother, PJ. May God open eyes and ears. Amen. Lulu, please pray that the truck they gave to Linda gets fixed so she can get back on the road. Amen. Dominica Dominguez, please pray for my family for conviction and true repentance. Amen. Kenny B, please pray for me, for lost family, and for friends to be saved. And I have trouble focusing while praying and reading the Bible. Please pray for strength to overcome the flesh and a hedge of protection from the devil's work. Amen. DJ, please pray for Israel's slowness to impose two-state solution. I don't know about that. The quicker they do that, the faster we get out of here. So you might want to modify that prayer. And slowing, stopping Russia's hands on the nukes before it gets too bad. Amen. Lauren, I am not a person who seeks public speaking, so I need prayer to share memories and the gospel at my sister's memorial on Saturday. Please, please give me the words. Amen. We'll be praying for that. Deborah M., I stand in the gap for my entire family. April says, so Deborah is asking for prayers for her entire family. April says, please pray for my sister Kaylee, who is a pagan. Sandra C., please pray for Carmela's physical health and salvation on the way to the hospital right now. Regina Danner, prayers for the children of this world. They are the prey. April, please pray that God will help my daughter discern good from evil. She is 17. Also pray for the salvation of Biden and the Democrats and the Republicans. Shannon Krupp, please pray for me in this ministry and everybody involved with it. Amen. Jersey Girl says the doctor prescribed Adderall for my husband's brain fog and terrible COVID headaches. Hope he won't be on it for too long. Thank you for prayers. DJ says, prayers that churches all over will preach prophecy and rapture at this time. May pastors prepare the flock and care less on tithes and membership status. Amen, amen, amen. Charlton is asking, he'd like to wrap his 7x16 covered trailer with gospel messages, hoping to see an installer this Monday. Could I create some artwork for that? I'd be happy to do that. Just let me know. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we come before you and we ask you to work and move as only you can, God. 30 solid minutes of prayers and praises and requests, and that's just a tip of the iceberg, Lord. And we just pray that you would work and move as only you can. Heal what needs to be healed, Father God. Where there is lack, please provide. Where there is abundance, please share it, Lord. For people asking to overcome addictions and sins and just everything in their life that needs to be overcome, Lord, give us strength and power to do that. We pray that lost people listening to this message will get saved and that saved people listening will get right with you and get on fire for you. And that's really what our message is all about today. So, Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we commit this time to you for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, Lord. Revive us again and let us get something done for you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll be right back after this and ready to get into today's message, talking about walking in the steps of Jesus Christ.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who hath borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Shady green pastures, so rich and so free. God leads his children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathe the weary child feet. He leads his children, leads them along. Sometimes on the mountain, where the sun shines so bright, God leads his children, leads them along. Sometimes through the valley, through the darkness of the night, the same God leading those same children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but he'll always give them a song. And it's in the night season, and all the day long. Won't you let him take you through the fire? Let him take you through the flood. Let him take you through the fire. And we all must go through the blood. Won't you let him take you through great sorrow. He'll always give you a song. And it's in the night season. And all the day long. Oh no, oh no, 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 no. It's in the night season and all day long.
Amen. Heavenly Father, be with me as I preach and teach today, and let your word go forward in spirit and in truth, and we'll give you all the honor and the glory for it. And if there be one listening who does not know you and as Savior, we pray that something would be said and done to lead a lost soul to you. And if there's one listening today who does know you, who is saved, but needs to get on fire for you, God, to get something done that will make it through the judgment seat of Christ, we just pray, Lord, that something will be said and done for that too. And we ask you to meet with us now in Jesus' name, your name. Amen. All right, everybody. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to give you my text for today. 1 Peter chapter 2. In our nighttime Bible studies, we've been talking about rightly dividing, and the name of the Bible study is called the NTEB Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study, and it is so important that you rightly divide the Word. And I know people, I call them a hyper-dispensationalist, I know people that simply say, if Paul didn't write it, it's not doctrine for the church, and that is simply not true. You can find church-age doctrine just about everywhere that you look. Now, if it's the Old Testament, you're not going to find a lot of it, but you'll find some of it. When you get to the New Testament, most of it is to the church age. Paul wrote 14 of the 27 books of the New Testament. And you can find church-age doctrine in the New Testament outside of the Apostle Paul. Peter has some. John has a whole bunch of it. In fact, most of what John wrote is church-age doctrine. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says this. Wherefore, we're starting in verse 1, 1 Peter 2, 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And then Peter goes on to say, in verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. This is absolutely talking to the church age. When you compare this with Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. And then Peter goes on to say, you get all the way down at the bottom, 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Now, there's a book written in 1896 by Charles Sheldon, and it's called In His Steps. And it imagines what it would be like if an entire Christian town decided to actually live their life by what Jesus would do. So if you've never read the book, I highly recommend that you get yourself a copy. And for today only, we have at the bookstore, we have a copy of In His Steps, 20% off a beautiful hardcover version of In His Steps. And I just want, I don't care about selling a book. I just want you guys to read this story. So all day till midnight tonight, In His Steps hardcover version will be 20% off. You can go to BibleBeliever.com and get yourself a copy of In His Steps. And I'd like to talk a little bit about this book today. Charles Sheldon wrote this book while D.L. Moody was still preaching, while Charles Spurgeon was still preaching, while the revivals that took place in the last part of the 19th century were still going on. Charles Sheldon wrote this book called In His Steps. And in that book, he asked the question, what would Jesus do? Now, when I was doing the research and the Bible study for today's broadcast, I found a web page where people had reviewed this book. And I found a review from 2018. A woman, a young woman, had written a review of this book. And this is what this woman wrote. She says, and I'm going to post it into the chat room, I think. There it is. She says, the book starts out well and it motivates you at the beginning to want to do things as Jesus would, but as the story goes on, it gets weird with the characters wanting to suffer for suffering's sake. The relationships and points of view from the women aren't realistically how women think. And she says, she concludes her review by saying, I wouldn't recommend this book. Now, I've read this book many times. It is one of my favorite novels. And it is a very, very inspiring book. And it points you absolutely and directly to your King James Bible. So why would this woman say, I wouldn't recommend this book? Well, one of the reasons why she would say that, and I'm just going to presume for a moment, I don't know who she is, but one reason why she would say I wouldn't recommend this book, after saying that the book starts out well and it motivates you, well, because as you begin to walk that path with the Lord Jesus Christ, that path gets harder and harder to walk. John Bunyan wrote about that in his great book, The Pilgrim's Progress. You can get that at BibleBeliever.com as well. We like to carry as many of the Christian classics as we can get our hands on. But one thing that you'll find is when you start walking after the Lord Jesus Christ, it gets a little hard. It gets a little tough. It gets a little challenging. Now, turn to John chapter 21. Turn to the book of John chapter 21. I want to show you the steps that Jesus told the apostle Peter that he was going to walk. Now, I want you to keep in your mind this review by this woman where she says, this book starts out well and it motivates you, but I wouldn't recommend this book. Well, how about this in John chapter 21? Let's start in verse 18. John 21, 18 and 19. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, Jesus, signifying by what death he, Peter, should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Is that where you want to go, Christian? You want to follow the Apostle Peter? You want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, step right up and get all you can get. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. When you start walking in the steps of Jesus Christ, It gets harder and harder and harder, but on the positive side, the longer that you walk those steps, the more strength and power that the Holy Spirit gives you. The challenges will increase, but the strength increases as well. So the first thing that I want to point out to you today about walking in the steps of Jesus Christ, Jesus says to Peter, I got a job for you, Peter, and this job is so good that it's going to bring glory to God. Well, wouldn't you want a job like that, Christian? Do you ever sit back and say to yourself, man, I wish God would use me for something? Well, God, if you're saved, God absolutely desires to use you for something. But it may not be what you have in mind. For the Apostle Peter, the very first thing when in John 21, when Peter was recovered and he is restored back to fellowship, and Jesus says in verses 15, 16, and 17, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And then the very next thing that he gives him is a prophecy of his own death. I wonder sometimes in Acts chapter 2, on that great day when Peter was preaching and 3,000 got saved, can you imagine what it must have been like for the Apostle Peter? Looking at it, those thousands and thousands of people, they had just had the upper room experience. They had just received the gift of the Holy Ghost. They had just been given power. And in Acts 20, verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. And he begins to preach a great, great sermon. It's kingdom age, but it's a good one. It's not church age, but it's a good one. It's a really, really good sermon. Verse 37 tells you the results, Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then he gives them kingdom age doctrine for salvation. Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. This is the gospel of John the Baptist. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Man, that must have been some kind of a day. But I wonder if in the back of Peter's mind, just for a moment, just a flickering thought, was the prophecy of Jesus Christ from John 21. Where Jesus prophesied that Peter would be crucified and in doing so bring glory to God. I wonder if the Apostle Peter thought about this on the day of Pentecost, maybe just for a second, maybe just for a moment. But those were the steps for the Apostle Peter. And then you get a couple chapters forward in the book of Acts. Look in Acts chapter 5, look down at the bottom. We all know the story. Acts chapter 5, verses 40 through 42. And to him they agreed, and when they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You know, that woman who wrote that review, this book starts out well and it motivates you at the beginning, but I wouldn't recommend this book. Why is she not recommending the book? Because it's hard. She's not recommending the book because it costs you something. She's not recommending the book because in order to carry out those things, you have to correspondingly give up of yourself. You know, in doing the ministry of Now the End Begins, and I've shared this story with you many times, I won't go into it again, but just simply to say that in 2020, when the Lord called me to do this full time, and I prayed about it, and I answered that call, and I started walking those steps, you know, from 2020 to 2021, it took more time. And from 2021 to 2022, it took more time. And now the Lord has me starting to travel and going places to preach. We added a Wednesday sit-down podcast where we're interviewing people. And as the time keeps ticking forward, more and more of my own personal time is now being given over to the service of the Lord. Used to be the opposite. I used to have the time that I would give to the Lord, and all the rest of that time was for me. And if you're honest, many of you are living that way right now. I'm not saying you're backslidden. Maybe you are, but I'm not saying that you're backslidden. I'm just simply saying, when you look at your schedule, how much of that time do you actually give to the Lord? And how much do you keep for yourself? Now, only you can answer that question, and I'm not here to make you feel bad. I'm not here to make you feel guilty. I'm here to ask a question. How much of your time are you actually giving to the Lord? And I'm not looking for you to have a knee-jerk response where it's like, okay, I'll just give up everything. Well, that's not really the right attitude either. The right attitude is what Saul said on the road to Damascus when he was knocked off his horse. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Have you ever asked the Lord that question? What will you have me to do? What course do you have for me? You see, that's what this book, In His Steps, is all about. It is simply taking a look at your daily life. What would Jesus do in any given situation? And now, can you walk those steps to carry that out? Now, 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. That's the goal. That's the gold standard. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You see, this is what we're called to do as Christians. And the more that I personally attempt to walk in those steps, and a lot of the times you'll find yourself one step forward and two steps back, because it's hard to do. And when you do that, the devil is going to resist you. He's going to tell you that you have no business serving the Lord because you're not talented. God didn't give you any gifts. And if he did give you gifts, that you got to use them for yourself. And so when you start walking towards the Lord and walking in those footsteps from 1 Peter 2:21, the devil's going to resist you. And I'm sure that the Apostle Peter had the devil whispering in his ear on a regular basis. And Peter was faithful. He walked those steps. Now, did he walk them perfectly? No. Did Peter screw up after that? Yeah, he did. He had to be rebuked by the Apostle Paul. Paul called him a hypocrite. He said, you act one way around the Gentiles and you act another way around the Jews. You're a hypocrite. But you know what? Peter kept walking. He said, okay, I got some stuff I have to fix, but I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep walking those steps. And at the end of his life, Peter would write 1 Peter and 2 Peter. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. The book starts out well and motivates you at the beginning. I wouldn't recommend this book. I wouldn't recommend this book because this book's pretty hard. And she's not even talking about the Bible. She's talking about the book In His Steps. And another one of the objections that she seems to have is that she doesn't like it when people start actually doing what it is that 1 Peter 2:21 calls you to do. And she says, the points of view from the women aren't realistic. Well, not compared to 21st century standards, they're absolutely not realistic. That shows you how far that we have drifted away. You know, I've been spending a lot of time this past week. I just read God's Man for the Gilded Age about D.L. Moody. And right now I'm reading an excellent biography about Moody written by his son William. And what a different time period these people lived in. How differently people thought. I was reading last night that when Moody wanted to start, he was taking this profits from the hymn books, and he wanted to put it into a trust that would keep his schools going. And so they hired the services of this really, really good lawyer. And the lawyer was not a Christian, but the lawyer agreed to help them. But after the lawyer had spent time with Moody and his people and saw how sincere that they were, and they didn't want any scandal, they didn't want anything wrong to happen with the money, they wanted to put it into a legal trust so nobody could mess with it, that lawyer was so convicted just watching how these men operated the ministry, that lawyer was so convicted that he refused to take money for his services. He said it would be a sacrilege to charge money to help those men and that he should just do it for free. And the guy didn't even get saved, but he was so convicted when he saw how they were operating that ministry. And when you look back in the end of the 19th century, that was the last, we call that the golden age of Christianity. That's the last time that the King James Bible would reign supreme and unchallenged. Because at the end of the 19th century, all the modern versions started coming in, and all of the higher criticism from Germany and from the colleges, that began to come in and to question the authority of the Bible. And you get into the 20th century and it becomes full-blown Laodicean apostasy. But if you want to find out what they thought back in Moody's day and Spurgeon's day, go and read some of those books and biographies. We have a bunch of them at the website. Go to BibleBeliever.com and check out some of these books. And not only do you get to read about these great men and women of God, you begin to see that it was a completely different time period. It was a completely different way of thinking. Just going through my King James Bible, talking about steps. The Bible says this in, let's see here, Psalm 18, verse 36, thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Psalm 37:31, the law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. Psalm 44:18 says, our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. You get to the New Testament. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:18, I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Have we not walked in the same spirit? Have we not walked in the same steps? Romans 4:12, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. And so wherever you look in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, it has a lot to say about walking in the steps of God. And the Bible says this about God's word. The Bible says in Psalm 119:105, Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." One of the reasons why we get so crazy about the King James Bible, why we insist on being King James only in our doctrine, in our preaching, in our teaching, is because the Bible says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And if you don't have God's preserved word, that light is not going to shine bright enough to guide your steps. And Peter is very, very concerned about being able to follow his steps, the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the reasons why I gave you the example of Jesus and Peter in John 21 is because by the time Peter got to write 1 Peter 2:21, I think he had some time to think about the steps that he was called to walk in. I think he had some time to meditate and to think about what it was that Jesus had called him to do and what it really means to walk in those steps. Have you ever thought about walking in those steps? Have you ever tried? You know, 1 Peter 1:1 says this, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." That's what Peter says, that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 1:1. Well, a little bit of time goes by, and Peter writes 2 Peter. And look at how he starts out 2 Peter. He's getting closer to that crucifixion. He's spent some more time walking in the Lord's steps. 2 Peter 1:1 says, "Simon Peter," "a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Isn't that funny? 1 Peter 1:1 says, "Peter, an apostle." Yay! 2 Peter 1:1 says, "Simon Peter, a servant." You see the difference? If somebody in the chat room could put those two verses side by side, let me see 1 Peter 1:1 and 2 Peter 1:1, and let me see them side by side, please. I want you to see the change that took place in the Apostle Peter. In John 21, Jesus said to him, "This is how you're going to glorify God. You're going to be crucified." And in 1 Peter 1:1, he's Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. But in 2 Peter 1:1, he's had some time to think. He's lived a little bit of life. He's getting closer to that moment. He's getting closer to that moment where he's going to be crucified for God's glory. And now he says, "Simon Peter, a servant." Do you see the difference? Peter is remembering what he was called to do. He was called to be a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I know that we're his children. We've been saved by the blood of the crucified one, and we've been bought with a price, and I get all that. We are a child of the king. I am a son of the king, and you are a son or a daughter of the king. But too many times we focus on our royal inheritance And we forget that we are called to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the only way that you can walk in those steps, the only way that you can walk in those steps is you've got to be able to be a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what that woman didn't like about the book is it didn't like how they all became servants and they all willingly said, if we are called to suffer, then that's what we need to do. And she says, that's not realistic. That's not right. I wouldn't recommend this book. What is she saying? I wouldn't do that. I'm not going to do that. That's why she didn't like the book. I promise you it's a fantastic book. It's one of the best novels I ever read. But it's going to challenge you. It's going to challenge you. Now, Terry in the chat room is asking, what is the significance of being called Simon Peter? Well, when you look in the Bible, Simon is called Simon when he's really not doing the right thing. Remember when Jesus said to him and he prophesied that, turn to Luke 22. I don't normally take questions during the preaching, but this is a good question. Luke 22, Jesus is telling Peter that he's going to betray him. Not so, Lord. Not going to do it. And Jesus is like, oh boy, yes you are. I'm not making you do it. I'm telling you what's in your heart to do. You just don't realize it yet. And in Luke 22, 31 and 32, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, he's talking to Peter. Behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, you would have thought that Peter would have said, wow, Lord, you're going to pray for me? That's fantastic. Thank you. Well, let's see what Peter actually says, what Simon actually says. Verse 33 says, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. So when we see in 2 Peter chapter 1, and he calls himself Simon, you know what he's doing? Peter is remembering. He's remembering when he betrayed the Lord. He's remembering when he denied him three times. He's remembering when he cut off the ear of Malchus and Jesus healed Malchus and rebuked Peter. In 1 Peter 1:1, Peter, he's flying high. He's having a good day in the ministry. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And then time goes by and he gets closer to his crucifixion. He's done some good things. He's screwed up. Kind of 50-50. He's been rebuked by Paul for being a hypocrite. But you know what Peter does? Peter takes it. And he says in 2 Peter 1:1, he's now more spiritually mature. He says, Simon Peter, a servant. So I submit to you today, Matt in the chat room says he's putting dust on his head, like from the book of Jonah. That's exactly what he's doing. And you know, when we get to the place that we remember that we are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the place where God can use us. That is the place where God can get something done with us. When we remember that we are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever watched that movie, Sheffy? It's one of my favorite Christian movies. That movie, Sheffy, and all through the movie, he introduces himself as Robert Sheffy. He says, "I'm a servant of the Lord." Moody thought like that. Spurgeon thought like that. Larkin thought like that. Billy Sunday thought like that. Peter Ruckman thought like that. And when you and I think like that, that's when the Lord can use us to a very, very high degree. So let me conclude this message where we started today. 1 Peter 2, Peter says this. Simon Peter, a servant, says this. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Heavenly Father, I just pray that this message will take hold in someone's heart today. Somebody who was saved but indifferent. Somebody who was saved but lukewarm. Lord, I'm so thrilled that many, many, many of the on fire people here at Now the End Begins originally got here in a lukewarm condition. And so I am glad and grateful, Father God, that you are doing that here and you are reviving us again. And I pray, Lord, for the one today that's listening who is lukewarm, who is not a servant and does not have a servant's heart, that you would get a hold of that person's heart, Holy Spirit, and make that change and get that soul on fire for you. And Lord, for those people listening today that don't know you, maybe a lost person is listening to this message today and it is just, they're just baffled. What is all this talk about being a servant? And what is all this talk about walking in his steps? Well, the only way that you can walk in those steps is you've got to become born again. And I pray for the salvation, Lord, of anybody listening, either live right now or in the archives later. I just pray, Father God, that something would be said and done, that something was said or done that would get a lost person saved. And Lord, we'll give you all the honor and all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I really want you guys to read this book, In His Steps. I put it on sale today. One day sale, 20% off, hardcover edition. I want you to go to the bookstore and get yourself, just go to BibleBeliever.com and get yourself a copy of this book. And this book will really, really help you if you're struggling with being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're struggling with, you know, what does that look like? Well, this book will help you to focus on that. This book was written in 1896. This book was written back at the tail end of the golden age of D.L. Moody and Charles Spurgeon. And the man who wrote this book, Pastor Charles Sheldon, he got on fire from what these great men of God were doing. And so this is not a modern book. This is an old-fashioned book. And it was written during a time period of great revival. And I highly recommend that you go and get yourself a copy of this book on sale today, just till midnight tonight. Have it 20% off. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of this ministry. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of our Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. And I think we're going to do question and answer because I've had so many people emailing me these great questions over the weekend. I think it's time for another question and answer. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here for that 7 p.m. tonight. Have a great day, everybody.
I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true.
I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do for you. Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. He saves me from every sin and harm, secures my soul each day. I'm leaning strong on his mighty arm. I know sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved.